With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Vincent Goodwill is on Twitter at VGoodwill of NBC Sports, the Chicago Bulls beat guy. Anything any clearer, or is everything predictably fuzzy ahead of the draft?
I mean, normally teams are going to be, you know, a little more coy as things go on. And then you have a team like the Bulls, who are basically like at CIA level intelligence, or so they would like you to believe about things leading up to it. But part of it is, guys, is you can say that this is a six-player draft and the Bulls are seven. So they're kind of waiting to see who falls and who stock sort of starts to rise and fall a little bit as, you know, the day sort of wind down.
Speaking of falling, I noticed this over the last couple of days. Luka Doncic continues to slide in a lot of folks' mock drafts.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know how much stock you put in the mocks, Vincent. I try and put a little bit in, but not all that much. Is that a material slide to you at this point? Is it fair, if it is, that he's sliding while playing actual basketball and everyone else is doing one-on-zeros? I mean, I wonder how you see this versus how teams may actually see this come Thursday.
I mean, guys, there is no greater or accurate depiction of what a player is going to do when he's playing 1-on-0 against, you know, the cones and everything, right? You know, it's not like actually playing basketball is an actual indicator of what you'll do. You have to play 5-on-5. I think it's, you know, like some, you know, recency bias and everything else where teams are seeing these guys in front of them, you know, right now. And they're not seeing Luka Doncic, even though they've done their background work and everything else. They're seeing the Mo Bambas. They're seeing the Trae Youngs. Whenever you see a guy in front of you, he's putting on his best face, that's going to make you look at him a little bit different when you interview him, man, when he's, you know, saying all the right things and everything. You also think that this kid is over there just playing ball. You know what I'm saying? I think usually the guys who slide late, they're not really sliding. You know, I just think it's some posturing. You know, I do think he's sort of a curious guy. I don't know if he's going to be the one to fall. Someone will fall, but I don't think it's going to be him. One guy I think who's not going to fall while you were talking about it on the drop is Trae Young. I don't think, whether the Bulls like him or not, I don't think he's falling past six. Let's just get that out the way now. I think Orlando is going to take him if he's there. If Atlanta doesn't take him at three, you know, no chicanery happens as far as on the trade market or whatever, but someone's going to fall. I'm just not sure it's going to be Luka Doncic.
With all due respect, and I'm sure you're absolutely right as far as that recency bias and the understanding of what is right in front of your face mattering to human beings, but that's a load of crap. Because Luka Doncic is actually playing professional basketball at what we understand is a very high level. Yeah. He's going up against grown-ass men in real games with stuff on the line and putting together highlight reels of everything you want to see in modern NBA. He may not be the most athletic guy there, but and Vinny, I'm sure you've seen the same things that I've seen. The way he makes that pass against the grain to the corner three-point shooter on a dead run at full speed, some of the stuff he does athletically at the edges of his range in games, I mean, how can that not matter more rather than less?
Apparently, sarcasm doesn't go well on Twitter or over on the radio airwaves either, is it, Dan?
In what respect?
No, but I get what you're saying. His skill set, to me, is, I like his vision. I love his vision. I like the fact that he can see the opposite end of the floor and make the play without having to see the play directly in front of him. So many times with college kids, especially guys who are in playmaking positions, they can see the floor only if it's directly in their line of sight. And then by the time that they've seen the floor and they've surveyed it, 3 seconds later, that hole closes up and it's a turnover. You know, Denzel Valentine had to go through a lot of that in his transition. He just wasn't quick enough to get from point A to point B to spot, not to spot the open man, but to hit the open man before that hole closed up. Doncic seems to have that little quick twitch there to him. Now, physicality will get to him, and I don't know if he's going to be a big-time scorer as soon as he gets to the league, but I do think that he, as a prospect, there's a lot of things to like there, and I don't know, you know, put it like this. There's a reason why teams like the Sacramento Kings are in the top five of the draft every year. This is the stupid season of the NBA where teams talk themselves into prospect or talk themselves out of prospect and talk themselves into suspects. So don't be surprised, even if a guy like, I don't think Doncic will fall, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone really good fell and the Bulls had a chance to take him. Now, whether the Bulls are smart enough to spot that player and get him in their building and develop him and nurture him and everything else, that remains to be seen. But I do think you're going to see a couple of players past seven who are going to be really, really good, and we're going to be sitting back wondering, man, why didn't the Bulls take him like a guy like Donovan Mitchell?
How does Kawhi Leonard wanting out of San Antonio change the draft coming up Thursday, specifically the lottery, if at all? I'm trying to look at some of the teams that might be interested in moving some of these picks or some of these potential players, and coming up with a formula seems, I don't know, a little bit tougher than I thought it would when we all knew, perhaps, that Kawhi would be leaving San Antonio.
Well, I think it gives some of the potential suitors, you know, more options, because a pick is never more valuable, you know, when you're trying to acquire a star like that, a superstar like that, when it's not being used yet. Once the pick is actually selected, then it sort of loses its value because San Antonio doesn't have sort of the eye to make the selection on their own, or in the situation like a year ago with the Jimmy Butler deal, you know, how that went down with Lauri Markkanen and everything else, and how the Bulls were able to, you know, engineer that trade. So do I think that there's a chance that something could happen before the draft? Yes. But do I think that the Spurs will sort of let things cool down a little bit and see if they can get Kawhi back into the fold, even though I think that he does want out? I think they're going to give themselves every opportunity to sort of let this play out before trading him. If you don't trade a top three, top five player in the NBA a week after he issues a trade demand without fully trying to repair that relationship, that would almost be negligence on their part if they did that. But if I'm the New York Knicks, if I'm the Boston Celtics, if I'm any team worth a damn, I'm making the call and I'm trying to trade everything but the kitchen sink, maybe even the kitchen sink, for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, because not many times do top three, top five players hit the trade market a year left on their contract, a chance to, you know, get them under your building, and with the new gambling money coming in a couple of years, you know, you're going to have a lot of revenue and a lot of salary cap space to play with. So signing a guy, even with his injury history, won't be as much of a risk, in my opinion, because the money is going to be so exorbitant across the board.
Bulls have been very coy about the future of Zach LaVine, and I think John Paxson's been careful to intimate that he understands what we're all seeing and not seeing so far in his game. A guy who's coming back from an injury, who on those minutes limits, was, as we discussed last year, might have been trying to do too much, often played like he was trying to do too much. Can you allay my fears of a max deal for him tying up a quarter of the Bulls' cap, and the Bulls feeling they have to match, if only to retroactively not lose the Jimmy Butler trade?
So you're not telling me that the Bulls are concerned about losing the battle of public perception, are you?
No, I dare say.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. I thought we were talking about another franchise. But to allay your fears, I don't think that Zach is going to get a max deal from the Bulls. Do I think that a team will come in the first few days of free agency and maybe give Zach an offer, or at least the market of an offer, slightly above what the Bulls will offer him on June 30th, slightly above maybe what they deem his market value to be? Yeah. Do I think that Zach LaVine is expecting a max contract? No, I don't think he's expecting that. I know that obviously that's something that he wants, and clearly, you know, that's a goal that every player should want to have, especially when, you know, you come as the centerpiece to the Jimmy Butler trade. But I think he's realistic and pragmatic enough to understand his situation. And I think the Bulls, given their history, they're not going to pay a dime more than they have to. Remember how things transpired with the Jimmy Butler restricted free agency before he became a restricted, you know, free agent. You know, the difference in those offers was $44 or $48 million, and the Bulls didn't want to budge, and they wound up signing them to a max $90 million contract the next summer, you know, which turned out to, you know, I guess, in theory, benefit both sides. So, you know, do I think that the Bulls would offer him that? No. Do I think that there's another team will offer Zach the max contract? No. But do I think that there's another team out there who will offer Zach a few million more annually, more than what the Bulls are willing to pay, and that Zach will have, or the Bulls by proxy, will have a decision to make? I do think that's the case. And I do wonder, guys, if we've been too harsh on judging Zach LaVine's play, you know, this season. I think part of it is because Lauri Markkanen had turned into something, and Chris Dunn turned into something more than we expected. And the fact that this guy came off an ACL injury and was trying to be back on the floor, you know, 10 months after the injury and everything else, and he wanted to be the guy, and he showed that he wanted to embrace that and take the mantle. I think sometimes we were a little too harsh on his play and maybe not giving him enough leeway, especially considering, you know, the situation he was traded into compared to the situation that he walked into when he actually stepped onto the floor.
Hmm. Vincent, I got a hypothetical for you if you want to follow along. Let's say in 2 weeks you're set to report that there's a little interest for the front in the Bulls, or that the Bulls have a little interest in making a move for Kawhi Leonard. Let's say that the overtures from the Spurs don't go the way of mollifying that relationship, and let's say that we've got some interest here in something that you're actually reporting. What will have had to happen up to that point? What will have to happen, I guess, for the Bulls to get involved in some discussion like that?
A mirror. A wonder of the world popping up. Jesus Christ returning. I don't know exactly,
maybe.
What.
Like, are you reading? Like, it could happen.
Yeah, maybe so. But I don't know if there's any realistic way, like Kawhi Leonard wants to play in Los Angeles. The Spurs have no intentions of actually trading him somewhere where they have to see him four times a year. But if you see where Kawhi Leonard could realistically go, and it's in the Eastern Conference, the Bulls will be so far down the list because, in part, Kawhi Leonard believes that he can't win in San Antonio with the players that they have not attracted, and also the way that his injury was sort of done publicly. Now, what franchise do we know about that seems to have a little bit of problem in the ways of public perception in terms of how injuries have been handled, rightly or wrongly? Just talking about outward perception.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's one right here.
I rest my case, gentlemen.
We're talking to Vincent Good.
Fair case.
Of NBC Sports Chicago, and I know it's probably going to get even stranger in the next couple of days because there's nothing like this league that you cover, man. There's nothing like the number of moving parts coupled with the star power of those parts that could realistically go anywhere based on a whim. LeBron James, if he wants to play for the minimum, he could. I mean, there's so many things that could happen here that just radically alter everything in deus ex machina fashion. It has to be a joy and a bit of a frustration to cover, just not knowing and knowing that you have to account for so many things actually possibly happening.
Well, the thing is, guys, when you talk to so many people, be it, you know, players, former players, executives, you know, people in our position, even just, you know, fellow journalists, we bounce so many ideas off of each other, and there's so many off-the-wall rumors that we can't report, you know, because teams are always doing their background work. They're always preparing, even the Bulls. Every team has a contingency plan in case LeBron James calls and says, hey, I want to be with you guys. Or if Superstar X wants to sit down and discuss, hey, you know, maybe we should entertain being traded here. You know, it's very exciting, and I want to compare it to the NFL in a certain way because one player holds so much more sway, I guess, and that would only be akin to a quarterback or, I guess, maybe a rush end or something like that in football. But I would say the axis of the league can turn quickly, and LeBron James is probably the one man in the league that can turn you from a lottery team to a team in the finals just by his mere presence. So when everybody says, oh, the finals are a foregone conclusion, or we're going to know exactly how the next 2 years are going to play out, and Golden State is just going to run the league, I sense a little bit of outrage to that because I see a few teams that are bubbling beneath the surface that are just one move away or one and a half moves away,
from making themselves serious contenders. And if you are a team like the Bulls and you see things change so quickly, why would you be so averse to, I guess, why would you be so averse to having hope that maybe one or two moves, if you do things absolutely right, and I'm not even saying a superstar, I'm just saying doing things the right way, that you can't put yourself in the thick of things. I think team-year rebuilds should be a thing of the past now, because kids come in the league so ready to play. Superstars are changing addresses at more of a rapid rate than they ever could. They're turning down, you know, the max money to stay home and everything else. You have to be ready to put yourself in a prime position to entertain anybody at any time, and I think that's a great thing for the league.
That's really good stuff right there. That's the modern NBA in a nutshell from Vincent Goodwill. And, Vince, we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take it easy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.